Calling to express your opinion? 905-338-1250. Calling to hear the sound of your own voice? Call 647-476-4910.
You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody.
All right, folks, 905-338-1250. We're just going to open up the phone lines for you guys to call in. Maybe some of you have some questions or some comments based on the interview we just did with really one of the world's most prominent Satanists, John Ali, used to be known as Lord Egan. Boy, I was just saying to Tim, I've got a headache from just piecing all of that together. I studied a lot of that in my alternative religious movements course down at Bible College in Australia. But unless you're tracking with it on a weekly thing, you get lost in that.
It was quite insane trying to hear all the different things, and I was called. I got myself really confused. I remember I wrote you the question, like, if he's a Gnostic, then why does he call himself a Satanist?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I don't know if he really answered that question, but at the end of the day, it seemed more than anything else that he was just he wasn't a Satanist.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's pulled quite a distance away from that, and I think he was quite disillusioned with where the First Church of the actual First Church of Satan,
yeah,
Anton LaVey went. But anyway, we'll go to you folks, 905-338-1250, 905-338-1250, and we're going to go to Peter. Peter, what do you think, mate?
Let me ask you. He thinks that his personality is going to cease to exist, but his consciousness still lives on.
Right.
Let me ask Drew Marshall. Drew, what happens to you when you die?
Well, I have faith that because I have surrendered my life to Christ and asked for forgiveness, and I believe that Jesus is who he said he was, that I'm going to end up going to heaven and hanging out with Papa.
Right, okay. All right. No, that's fine. I mean, I have to ascertain that.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because you're making apologies for Christians. You're lumping everyone into the same category.
Right.
Crusades, this, that, and the other thing.
Yep.
What is the definition of a Christian?
Well, for me, it's a mini Christ, someone who follows Christ.
Right, a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
And his commandments, right?
Yeah. So were you upset that I apologize on behalf of all Christians for the atrocities we've committed over the last number of centuries?
Do you really think those were followers of Christ? I know they were calling themselves Christians,
yeah,
and others call themselves Christians.
Right.
But why, like, what is any indication that the Crusaders were followers of Jesus Christ?
Anybody that does those sorts of insane things, from my point of view, of course, I have the hindsight of history to look at this.
Right.
In the information age that I'm in now, et cetera, et cetera. Anybody that has done things in the name of Christ, I want to apologize on behalf. I'm not lumping myself in the same category, but I know that from John Alley, who I've just interviewed, to the high priest from the Wiccan Church of Canada, whose name I can't remember right now. Sorry.
Yeah, I spoke with him a couple years ago,
oh, okay.
And I rebuked him. I'm somewhere on your tape. Anyway.
All right, my point behind all that is these guys have been absolutely mistreated by so-called Christians. And if someone is going to go around and call himself a so-called Christian and they're going to commit these kind of loveless acts, then I'm going to apologize on behalf of the religion, because I don't follow the religion of Christianity. I follow Christ.
Yeah, right. Religion is man-made. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is like, you get Baptist pastors or any of these guys in America, right? We've got to go over to the Middle East, and we've got to defend ourselves from terrorists, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Right? First, let's ascertain the terrorists are from where they're telling us. Second of all, I asked a pastor this, right, a head pastor of a church in Mississauga. I go, how can you tell us to go fight for our countries and who to vote for and all this other kind of stuff when if your four boys were to throw rocks at your garbage bin, you would admonish them, punish them, et cetera, et cetera. You'd say, man, Christians don't act like that. Stop throwing rocks at the garbage man. The following week, if they were throwing rocks at the garbage man from behind the fence, you'd admonish them again, et cetera, right? I said, and if this continued for a few weeks, each time you would punish them and say, Christians don't act like that. But man, dress them up in a military uniform, put them in a billion-dollar jet, drop bombs on,
right,
on whatever, and now all of a sudden they're Christians doing their duty?
Right.
All this to say, people call themselves Christians all the time, right? They you always hear Canada and America, we were Christian countries,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Never happened. That would have meant that everyone would have had to be a follower of Christ. That never happened.
Right.
So for you to apologize for these other guys, ascertain. Just tell them. Say, yeah, man, there's people out there calling themselves Christians. They are not. True Christians are followers of Jesus.
Well, but hold on. But you're presupposing that I'm making that I need to or that I should make a judgment call on someone else's eternal destination. You're saying they weren't real Christians if they acted this way. And I look at my life on a daily basis and say, good night. Can I really call myself a follower of Christ if I'm going to continue to stumble and fall and continue doing these things that are anti-Christ following?
Right.
And so I'm not going to presume to make a judgment call whether they were genuine Christians or not. I'm not going to go there. Because then I lump myself in with the Republican nutcases down in the states who make these grandiose claims of whether somebody is or isn't a Christian based on whether they believe what Focus on the Family, preaches 24/7.
No, but Drew, even when I listen to you, you know, I turn it on, whatever, and you talk to people, Jesus people, this, that, whatever, on and on and on, right?
Yep.
Jesus referred to them as brethren, and some of the apostles referred to them as friends in the way, right? So they're brethren or they're friends, or they're the body of Christ, a.k.a. the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to call them Jesus people gives a misnomer to people who are maybe tuning in for the first time. I mean, you have a platform, I've told you in the past, you could do a lot of good. However, you don't need, if you're a true child of God, to ingratiate yourself to anyone, nor make excuses. Now, it doesn't mean whap them over the face by guys who may or may not be saved. That's why I asked you the question first, where you're going. Because, sometimes it sounds like you're not saved. I'm sure you struggle with your salvation.
Hold on. Right? Let me, and we've got to get to another call. You made some great points, but it's not Drew and you time. So here's the deal. I sound that way, and I think it's magnified even more because nobody else sounds that way. Nobody else in Christian media is willing to say the stuff and admit the struggles that I have admitted.
Oh, I understand. No,
and
no.
So I think it gets magnified a little bit. For people to call in and question my eternal destination in the nicest way possible, screw you.
Was that now the Holy Spirit speaking in you to me?
Oh, my goodness.
Did you set forth Christ to this guy, to this Satanist, whatever,
okay.
right?
right?
A true Christian sets forth Christ.
Right.
If you're not doing that, then you question. I'm not telling you. I'm not judging you.
Okay.
But,
all right.
This is the thing. Now, a couple years ago.
But you are judging, Peter. Please don't walk around and say, I'm not judging
all
you.
All things,
just
hold fast that which is good, right?
Okay, you know what? Peter, are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Okay, well then
do
ask
I stumble?
Yourself.
Do I seem like you? Yeah.
There you go, and you're answering
right.
your own questions, buddy.
But this is
hilarious.
When you said, again, it's not to pick bones with you. The whole thing is when God uses you, or when any of us submit to being used by God as an instrument, right, then glorious things happen. Like, look how many people hear your voice every weekend. Now imagine setting forth Christ in a Christ-like way. And I don't mean to sound like these other...
Dude, I don't even know what that sentence means. Setting forth Christ in a Christ-like way, I have no idea what that means. Like, are you the guy that prints bumper stickers for Mitchell's? I don't get that.
No, but what do you mean you don't get that?
I don't get it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Go forth and preach the gospel unto every creature.
Yes, and speak only
Christ.
When necessary. Speak only
and
when necessary.
Pastors don't know that. No, but pastors don't know enough to set forth Christ. They set forth agendas,
okay.
They set forth, you know.
All right, Peter, I don't mind the discussion. Unfortunately, it's you're hogging
yeah,
it from everybody else.
Hog your
so,
time.
Yeah.
Now,
all right.
The...
No, that's the end of it. We're done.
Okay.
Don't move on to another topic after you apologize for hogging
right.
the airtime. All right, thanks, Peter.
Have a good weekend.
See you. Bye-bye. All right. Who's next? Who do we got?
Ken.
Ken, how you doing, man?
Hey, was that Apostle Peter?
I think it was.
Man, he can't speak when he opened his mouth or what? Brother Drew, you did a heck of a job with that guy. I just want to start out by saying that guy was very educated, that John guy.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
You know what? Interesting, but I found him to be all over the map. Like, one time he was a Mormon, one time he was everything but Jehovah's Witness. He was everywhere. Humanistic, everything. So, like, this guy, it takes more faith for him to do what he's doing, to keep on top of the subject. Like, some of the times, I can't remember, because I was listening to that Peter guy, I can't remember what he said, but you had a comment, and he goes, yeah, that's right, Drew, when you were talking about the guy who started that church.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, that's the way I believe. He didn't even have a solid foundation of what he believed.
Hmm.
So, you know,
well,
pray for these guys, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well said.
Know?
Well said, Ken. I appreciate your call, mate.
Talk to you later, man.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right.
Bye.
All right, we'll take a couple more calls. 905-338-1250, 905-338-1250, and then we've got to move on.
Reflita.
Wow.
I believe I got that right.
Did you get the name right there, Reflita?
Yes, for the first in Canada.
All right. All right. So what did you think about that interview?
Well, the gentleman is obviously searching, and one can't, you know.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad you noticed that. Good for you.
Well, like all of us, basically. And
he still sounds teachable and open.
And let me tell you what happened. You see that that apology at the end, I was a bit angry at first when I heard you. But
wow.
I realized what forgiveness is all about. And it is true that we have a lot of persons out there, those who have been battered and all of this. The reason why they have gone to these people is because these people have showed them the love that we have not.
Well
so
said.
By apologizing to him, he is now starting to think, yes, this is what it is really about. So he is open. There is now a window of opportunity for somebody else to say to him, this is what Christ is all about. So I was angry first when I heard you, but I'm thinking about it. I said, this is what Jesus Christ would have done in the first place. Go after the one and leave the 99. There are many things I don't agree with you about, but they are elementary. And what happens is that your show keeps me thinking, and it also gives me the opportunity to look into my own Christianity and see why I believe the things that I believe. So there's no condemnation.
Wow, good for you. I'm very encouraged by what you said. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One thing that is interesting is I wonder how many people get upset when we apologize on behalf of how we treated the indigenous people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm actually quite...
Since when is an apology a problem? I got in trouble once at my church for apologizing.
I mean, this is Canada. We're professional apologizers.
Yeah.
Somebody bumps into us in America, we apologize. Unbelievable.
Someone,
okay.
Yeah, okay.
Mariana, what do you think?
Hello. Yes, hi.
Hi.
I heard your interview with John. I want to make it short. I just wanted to say he was talking about, you know, whether you slap the other person on the cheek, just like Jesus said, let them slap you on the other cheek.
Yeah.
You know, turn the cheek, or else you want to punch them in the face and, you know, be strong. He just makes it sound like following Jesus is... it's a philosophy.
It is a philosophy to him. Yeah.
Whether or not you follow Satan and Satan's philosophy or whatever, and I want to remind all the people that are listening, it's not a philosophy. We don't have a choice. God is still in control. It's like being on a huge cruise ship. You have, people, you have free will, and you can decide whether you want to, you know, go listen to some music or play a game or go swimming on the cruise ship. But the cruise ship is headed in one direction, and God is at the wheel.
Okay.
Does that make Jesus gopher?
Pardon me?
we're trying to figure out which character on the love boat was Jesus. Was it Captain Steubing? Was it
Isaac?
It was Isaac. That's what it was, yeah.
The black Jesus.
I think he's helping his father at the wheel.
Yeah.
Is he not? Because it doesn't matter what he said to reason it out logically, what the best thing would be to do. In that situation, maybe your brain can figure something out, but it's not like that in all circumstances. There are things that we can't control, and by not doing something, do you know what I mean? Like you fall into another category. So just like Jesus said, you either follow me or you are on Satan's side. You know what I
All right.
mean?
Yeah.
There are laws in the universe that God set up, whether we like it or not.
Yeah. Lisa, thank you very much for your call.
Oh, I just wanted to say also, like the one time you were talking about demons and things.
Yes.
I was praying with a lady, and I know she had like spirits in her of anger or whatever, different bad things in her. And we were praying, and one time... just like a figure, like a black figure, just came out of her. So it was sort of like casting out a demon, because we both were so close, standing so close with our heads bowed and our, you know, holding hands. And I started praying, and right away this black, kind of like an evil, scary figure kind of just came out of her and made me kind of push back, you know, to let that figure pass through. So I know that I cast something out of her.
All right. Well, thank you, Lisa, for sharing all that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, last caller in this is Lisa, I think. Lisa, you still there?
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm awesome.
You're awesome? All right. Lisa, we're running out of time here, so what's your comments?
The truth is that God is in control.
Right.
And the second thing about that is it was handled with dignity. And the third thing is when you're humble, you learn a lot.
Very well said.
And if you're not humble, you're not learning anything.
No.
So for those who like to bind and rebuke, you have to know your enemy, and you bind and rebuke according to the grounds that you're on. Otherwise, you have no power.
All right. Okay. Good words. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
I think I said last caller. This is going to be the last caller. So
yep.
Nobody else will. Hi, Danae.
Hi, Drew.
How are you?
Good.
What did you think about that interview?
I thought that it was a really good idea for you to bring him on. We can, like, learn about other people and their faith.
Thank you very much.
You're
whoa,
welcome.
What's going on? You having a party there? What?
No.
Whose voice is that? Who's talking?
It's just my mom and my grandma.
Oh, tell them you're on the radio. Go in and say, shh, I'm on the radio.
Okay.
All right. Good to chat with you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
One thing we need to bring out in all of this is that pure Satanists don't believe in the existence of Satan as the Bible describes.
No, and I think he was pretty clear at the start.
Very clear about that. There are those that are sort of pop Satanists, so to speak. And, you know, it really stems from wanting to come out from underneath of this oppressive, patriarchal, Judeo-Christian scenario that we've seen over how many years in the United States.
Yeah.
It's part of the age of Aquarius. It's part of the whole selfish narcissism. It's part of rebellion. It's part of whatever else. And look, I understand all that. I really do. I get that. And I got to look over the history of Christendom, especially here in North America, and just go, again, I am so sorry for how we have represented Christ, let alone corporately. But if you followed me around personally, I would give you a bad taste of what Christ is probably as well, right? So, I don't know. My apology stands.
Yeah, Bruce Coburn said it best. Tried to build New Jerusalem, but they ended up with New York.
I hate when that happens.
Yes.
All right. We've got to move along. Well, boy, we're running out of time. We've got to bump one subject off to another week. When we come back, we're going to come back with our journey segment, folks. 8 months ago. Did I say monks?
Monks, yes. You're in a total religious state right now.
8 months ago, Greg was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And the problem is that Greg lives in the United States and can't afford the mounting medical bills. His Canadian friends have rallied together and have done an amazing thing for this guy. Quite a story coming up. This guy is actually, if you trace his family, he's actually related to the original Hatfield-McCoy feud back in the day.
So I guess we got to be careful here.
We do. But anyway, we're going to chat with Greg just for a little bit, and then we're going to finish off the show with something a little lighter. Folks, which song would you want played at your funeral? This is quite a macabre show today,
lighter?
Isn't it?
Nice one, buddy.
Have you thought about it? Some people would prefer an upbeat party type of tune, like Celebration by Kool and the Gang, while others prefer something a little more somber like Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven or Amazing Grace. We know it's a tad macabre to plan your own funeral, but you'd be surprised how many have. So which song would you choose to be your swan song? We're going to finish off the show talking about that today. When we come back, our journey segment with Greg Hatfield. Stay with us, folks.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk.